Usually we discuss something related to the Parsha, and on occasion we talk about something related to Nyani Dioma. Tonight I want to talk about something which is very broadly speaking in Nyani Dioma, not in the classic sense, but relates to a decision that was issued by an appellate court in the state of New Jersey a week and a half ago, which was publicized last week. So I guess in some sense that makes it in Nyani Dioma, even though I cannot figure out any reasonable connection to the Parsha, despite having tried. So the Superior Court of New Jersey Appellate Division issued a decision on May 5th, 2023, on a case related to a homeowner where the Maisa Shahaya Kach Haya. There was a family that went on a vacation in 2019, and left a 35-year-old single Orthodox Jewish woman to house sit and dog sit in their absence. According to what's described in this decision, the homeowner told the house sitter that a certain mutual female friend could visit her during the time that this young lady was house sitting. The homeowner did not say that she was forbidden from having other visitors. Towards the end of the stay, the house sitter invited a male acquaintance to visit her in the house. The male acquaintance was in the house for about an hour. According to the house sitter, the front door was left open, and quote, someone could have easily walked in and said, hey, you left the door open. And they would have seen that there's absolutely nothing going on. After playing with the dog for 45 minutes, plaintiff told house sitter he was, quote, exhausted and, quote, needed 10 minutes somewhere to put his head down. House sitter told him to go, quote, upstairs to the first room and, quote, lie down on the bed. And she would wake him up in 10 to 15 minutes. House sitter then took the dog for a walk. When she returned, she went upstairs to wake plaintiff. While plaintiff was still on the bed, the dog ran into the room, jumped onto the bed. Plaintiff stood up, the dog clamped his mouth onto plaintiff's foot, shaking it back and forth, bit through, broke his phalanx bone and second toe, and he needed surgery and a hospitalization. Plaintiff then filed the complaint in which he alleged that he had been invited to the defendant's house by their employee, agent, and or dog sitter, was lawfully present in the house when defendant's dog repeatedly bit him, causing him to sustain, quote, severe and permanent injuries, as well as other damages. And therefore, defendants were liable under New Jersey statute, whatever, under which, in order to recover damages, plaintiff must prove, one, the defendant owned the dog, two, the dog bit the plaintiff, and three, the bite occurred while the plaintiff was in a public space or lawfully in a private place, including the property of the owner of the dog. In this case, defendant acknowledged point one and two, acknowledged that the defendant owned the dog, acknowledged that the dog bit the plaintiff, however, they denied that the plaintiff was lawfully in a private place, lawfully in the property of the dog owner, because the plaintiff was there in violation of an Isser Yichud. I read on. Defendants asserted that all the parties were observant Orthodox Jews, and quote, Orthodox Jewish law strictly prohibits unrelated single men and single women, like plaintiff and dog sitter, from being alone together in a secluded location, like defendant's home, unchaperoned. In response, plaintiff admitted the factual assertion that the parties and the house sitter's religion and denied the factual assertion about Orthodox Jewish law, stating that the law of Yichud prohibits a Jewish adult from being alone in a closed locked space, citing his deposition testimony, namely, that they view Yichud as, quote, a very gray area, quote, end quote, in Jewish law, that allows an unrelated, unmarried man or woman to be, quote, in the same vicinity, in the same house, the same room, as long as someone's able to come see what is going on, as long as it is not for an extended period of time. Plaintiff was a Baal Tshuva, house sitter was from birth. And even though plaintiff learned in Machon Shlomo and then the Mir, he thought that this was a reasonable take on Hilchos Yichud. The lower court ruled in favor of the defendant that in fact the plaintiff was not lawfully on the premises because he was doing so in violation of an Isser Yichud, and the appeal court overruled that, ruling that because, as presented, there are gray areas in terms of Yichud, and as a matter of practical law, in the big picture, that doesn't in any way indicate that the plaintiff was unlawfully on the premises of the defendant. Ad kan, the gist of this decision. So now let's look at this from a number of angles in the through halachic lenses. Question number one is, what is this case doing in court at all? Don't we know there's an Isser HaKos? You're not allowed to adjudicate a dispute between two Jews in court, either Miyakir Shem Elilim, Meirim Yad B'Toras Moshe Rabbeinu, who we discussed many times in the past. So on what basis are these people in court to begin with? So maybe they don't belong in court. However, presumably, the situation was such that the homeowner had insurance or whatever policy they had and covered, whether there's a pet policy or not. I presume they had whatever insurance necessary that would cover any such liability or claims for damages. And under such situations, the general consensus is that even though on paper the defendant may be a Jew, but in practice, the defendant is really the insurance company. The insurance company is not a closely held Jewish corporation, has no interest in being a Beis Din, and therefore would not, therefore there's no Isser HaKos to adjudicate such a case in court where the real party of record in practice is the insurance company. Now, number one, we'll talk in a moment, do you still have to go through the motions of trying to go to Beis Din in such a case? Number two, even if we assume that there is no Isser HaKos and you do have the right to be in court, what happens if court awards damages in excess of what a person is entitled to al pi din? So that is a significant issue. There is the number of tshuvas we've shown him. The one I have here to put on the screen is a tshuvas tashbeitz. The tashbeitz in Chelek Beis Siman Beis Sadi writes as follows in the context of the Isser HaKos. So the Isser HaKos applies even if the HaKos are going to judge al pi dinei Torah. I will in dinei enu kidineinu, but if they're going to judge based on a different set of laws, hadavar pashut shu aser, so that's more pashut than that's aser, v'adam lefneim areyu gazlan u'pasul edus. And if you're going to benefit from that award that's in excess of what you're entitled to, al pi dinei Torah, then you're a gazlan. It makes you pasul edus. Achi shali masha nato mimenu shelo kidineinu, until you return that which you're not entitled to. Afi shuzacha bidineya. Says the tashbeis, v'davar zeh l'rov chituso lo nitali kos. You don't even have to write it so pashut that if you're going to benefit from such an award that's not al pi dinei Torah, that is gazel. So generally we assume, many say like this, that that is indeed the case. So would that be true over here? If the damages are in excess of what you've been awarded to al pi din Torah, even though the party record is in practice an insurance company, so is that considered to be gezel? Right off the bat, if we're talking about a dog tam and not a dog muad, so we're talking about chasi nesek and posi nesek shalim, presumably what you'd be entitled to al pi din Torah. We're not done al pi all the chamisha dvarim nowadays in chutz laretz. Well, we don't have the regular system of Sanhedrin of old. So what you get al pi dinei Torah is probably much less than you'll be awarded in court that the insurance is going to pay for. So Rav Shlomobach has a tshuva, tshuva son hagos, chela gimel simen taf mem dalid, chela gimel simen taf mem dalid. So on the first point, he acknowledges that where the party of record is indeed the insurance company, there's not going to be an Isser HaKos. He thinks then nevertheless, you should go through the motions and have a Beis Din send out a hazmana to the defendant. Let the defendant then respond that they're covered by insurance and insurance refuses to come to Beis Din, and then have the Beis Din issue a formal heter HaKos, as would normally be the procedure if one party refuses to come to Beis Din, the Tovei wants to come to Beis Din, the Nibber refuses, then the Tovei would get a formal heter HaKos from Beis Din. Here too, even though we know that the insurance company is not going to come to Beis Din anyway, you still should go through the motions and have a formal heter HaKos from Beis Din where the defendant responds that the insurance company, in essence, is not prepared to come to Beis Din. As far as the second question, as to whether such an award would be considered gezel al pi dinei Torah, so Rav Sternbach suggests that there's a certain adaita dahachi that when you enter into a contract or you're living in a society where these kinds of claims are handled by insurance, and it's not that the mazik is paying out of his own pocket, so then there's a certain adaita dahachi that you're being paid from insurance, and this is how it works, and insurance pays what they're obligated to do, I'll be Dina, the local custom and norms, and that wouldn't be considered gezel, I'll be Dina Torah. Rav Zilberstein, in an article printed in Yeshurin, volume Yud Aleph, a brief piece regarding a malpractice situation, we spoke about, I think we touched on malpractice in the context of Rapport Yerbay earlier this year. So he also assumes that there's no problem in going to our coast where the insurance company is actually in practice the party of record. But he thinks in that case there isn't even a need to go through the motions of going through Beis Din. You can just assume off the bat that the insurance company is not going to Beis Din, and you have a self-understood head to our coast in that situation. Now, he also quotes, as far as the award that's going to be given, because of Rikiv Eger in Chosha Mishpat Simen Gimel, Chuas Magen Giborim, Machlokas Ben Tavel Nitba, Echad Omer, Shirin Sonal Listayin Bidine Torah, the Echad Omer, Shain Lo Listayin Elabif Neacherim, Shekachu Amina Bimakam Shinasa Asik Hadini Mo. So if you have a Sichsach where the Taveya says, one party says he wants to go to Beis Din. The other party says that their local custom is not to go to Beis Din, not to go to our coast, but to go to some other body that arbitrates such matters. So he has the right to insist on going to this other arbitration panel where that's the norm in that industry. So there, if the minig is to follow the norms of the Derech HaSochrim there, and not Dinei Torah, minim vivatu lalacha, just like the notion of situmta, that there are kinyanim that are reflective of common practice that objectively wouldn't have been halachically valid if not for the fact that it's the commercial norm. So in such a situation, as Zilberstein says, that's essentially what's going on with when you're covered by insurance, so that is the norm, and whatever you're awarded from insurance is an extension of this kind of minig hasochrim, and therefore not to be considered gezel al pi halacha. Okay, now what about the claim of the plaintiff in this situation that there wasn't really an iser yichud because the door was open and anyone could have walked in? So that, as we know, is the heter of Pesach Pasuch L'Shus HaRabim, Kiddushin Dav Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara has a series of carve-outs where the iser yichud doesn't apply. One of them is, Amar Yosef Pesach Pasuch L'Shus HaRabim, if you have a door that's open to a public area, then there's no concern about yichud. So presumably that applies minimally. The Gemara says the door is open. So if you have an open door and you have a male and female in what otherwise would be a situation of an iser yichud in front of the open door, such that anyone could walk in and see them easily, then that's not a violation of yichud. And that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezra, Kaf Bei, Siftes, Bayesh, Pisco, Pasuach, Lishas Arabim, Ein Chashash, Yachid, Sham, Im Ha'erva. Now, what if the door is closed but unlocked? Is that considered Pesach, Pasuach, Lishas Arabim? Pisco, Yeshuva, there's Sivkata, and Ches. I am Yeshuva, Sivik, Yveger, Yeshuva, Space, Meir, Ekel, and Meidak, Misa, Pesach, Sasum, Afilu, Eino Nahol, Upon Lushis Arabim, O Pasuch Lachatzer, Behu Ima Beyichud, Be Habayas, Have Yichud. That has to be Dafka Pesach Pasuch Lushis Arabim, has to be literally open. If it's closed, even though it's unlocked, that's not Pesach Pasuch. And therefore, that doesn't save you from a Yichud problem. He says, in the Chuvas HaRashba, he thinks maybe there's a Tosafot in the Chuvas HaRashba. What's the Chuvas HaRashba? Chuvas HaRashba, Chelek Aleph, Simon 1251, Aleph, Reish, Nun, Aleph. Says the Rashi in the middle of the Tshuva, Hagafas Losas Shamart, Ein Zeh Yichud, Achi Hei Bayis, no. That to be a problem of Yichud, it has to be locked. Yerushalmi, no, the middle Mashba, it sounds like it has to be locked with a lock, with a bolt. Kol She'eino B'minol, Yarehu Shema Yikanes, Acher Shel Rishus. The whole point of Pesach Pasul is just a rabbi. Why does that obviate a Yichud problem? Because anyone could walk in at any given time. So even if the door is closed, if it's not locked, anyone could walk in at any given time. Now, it could be on some level, maybe this machlokas could be minimized. Meaning what's really significant is lemaisa. Is there a chance that someone's going to walk in? So depends on where you live and what the block's like and what the neighbors are like and how reasonable is it someone's going to walk in. So it could be in some places, even if the door is closed but not locked, it's reasonable that people may walk in. And in other places, that would be unheard of. So it could be the machlokas isn't that broad. To some extent, that may be reflective of what the realities are. There is a late piece that appears in Igros Moshe, Eben Ezer Chelik Dalit, Simon Samachay, from the 80s, written to Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn, where there's a line here that even if the door is locked, that's Pesach Pasuach, because we're worried someone may knock on the door, and you'll have to open the door if someone knocks. In the Divrei Sofrim, he writes, he can't believe that Rav Moshe would have said such a thing. And that's whether this is a correct attribution or not, that is not the normally assumed position. So minimally, the Heter Pesach Basuach would allow for a Yichud situation if you have male and female in a room that's easily accessible from the front door if the door is open and you live in a block at a time of day where it's reasonable that someone could walk in. It's more complicated and far less pashut is the front door is open all the way, but they're not in the front room. They're in a back room or they're on the second floor. So that's far less pashut. That's machlokes achronim, the Sefer Dvar Halacha, the classic Sefer Hilchos Yichud, the base midrasho of the Chazon Ish, quotes some armakomos on this. But that's much more questionable if they're not directly in front of the Pesach Basuach and there isn't a clear line of vision, whether the hazard applies. Now, easier if the man is upstairs, the woman's downstairs in Pesach Basuach, so she's in front of the Pesach Basuach, he's in another room, so then that's easier to lie on Pesach Basuach. In this case, at one point she went upstairs, so that might be more difficult. But at least the contention of the plaintiff in this case, that there are some gray areas in Hilchos Yichud and Pesach Basuach, may be a reasonable statement. That in some of these situations, there are machloksim as to when the Hezer Pesach Pesuach applies. Again, to some extent, a lot of it is dependent on what's the reasonableness of someone possibly walking in, even if there is a Pesach Pesuach. The truth is no to be Huda. If you have a big picture window in the front of the house, that also is the equivalent of Pesach Basuach, as long as you're within the line of vision of the picture window. But if you're not in the line of the picture window, that doesn't help anything, because what good is it that the window's open if you're in a place that they can't see you through the window? So that contention, at least, there's what to talk about, whether in the situation as described in this case, where the representation was that the front door wasn't just unlocked, but open mamish. But the at least at one point, they were upstairs. That's at least highly questionable whether that the path of Pesach applied in that situation. In terms of the premise that one's only chayef for his animal that's nazik if the nizik has permission to be on the premises, so that we have in Choshe Mishpat Simen Shin Pei Tes Seif Tes, Kol Muad Mishalim Nezik Shalem Meyafish Ebn Chasav, Kol Tam Mishalim Chasi Nezik Mikufo. Fine, so Muad Pei Nezik Shalem, Tam Pei Chasi Nezik, Sif Yud, Bamed Varma Murim, when is the owner of the behema that's Mazik Chayiv, Kishin Nifnasa Behema Lashus HaNizik Vizi Kasav. That's where the animal goes into the property of the Nizik and his Mazik. Aval Nichnas HaNizik Lashus HaMazik, but if the nizik goes into the mazik's property and the mazik's animal is mazik, areza pater alakol shereyu omerlo ilu lenechnasti lushusi lo igilu chazek. You had no right to be here. No one invited you in. If you wouldn't have come into my house, the dog wouldn't have bid you. Right, mefurish b'torah v'shilach es biro ubiyer b'stei acher. Hagah calls the lashon a Rambam sarachiyun. That passes by Shane Varagel. Shusan Mazik, Father Field of Karen, and Yimik is a Tamala, fine. And then he says, how the Padre Shusan Mazik, Dafka Shinichna Shalob Rishus. So then, when are you Pater? If the Nizza goes into the Mazik's house without permission, about Nichnas Rishus, was an example of Nichnas Rishus, Kagon, Polam and Nichnas and Lutvos Karan, so you have a worker, the worker's coming to get paid. That's considered to be nichnas brishos. V'nachon shoshav alabayis, that is chayiv, that's considered to be nichnas brishos. The Tosaf has a discussion there in terms of the gather of nichnas brishos for a poel. So it may depend on what the norm is. Is the norm to go into the house to get paid? Is it balabayis someone that's out in public and the workers can access him in public without having to go into the house? But the principle is that whatever the scenario is, where the poel or another guest has permission to be there, then that's considered to be nifnas brishus, and the mazik is chayiv for any hezek that is affected by his animal. Now, in this situation, will we consider this to be nifnas brishus, or the representation in the court decision was that there had been explicit permission to invite one specific friend. The house sitter understood that implicitly that it was lav dafka, and it's reasonable that if you invite someone to house sit for you for a couple of weeks, that they have the right to invite other people to keep the company in the house. So that's probably something you have to assess based on what the umdana is. I don't know how to assess that. Sounds like a reasonable umdana. But I don't know, if you invited someone to house sit for 2 weeks, would you assume that they can invite anyone else to hang out with them? Not sure. So I think you have to figure out what the umdana is in that situation. But if that premise is correct, then that would be considered to be where the nizik had reshus to be in the base of mazik, and the mazik would be chayef. I think the argument here, the yichud argument of the halacha, doesn't really carry too much weight, because in Choshe Mishpat, if the person has rishus to be there, he has rishus to be there. Especially if, even if in their particular application of Pesach Pasuach, maybe there are two meiko, but there definitely could be a scenario of Pesach Pasuach where Lekuliyama that would work. And if this person has rishus to be in the house in such a situation, so the fact that maybe he went upstairs and shouldn't have gone upstairs with her, but he could have gone upstairs without her. So it's hard to argue that that creates a shalom rishus, the 10 seconds that he might have violated the Yisra Yichud, according to even majority of Boskim, and to say that suddenly makes it into a nifna shalom rishus. So it seems like the court got it right in the sense that the court's not going to wade into the religious question of what's considered yichud. Got it right in terms of Alpi Din Torah. It's reasonable that that this person had the rishus to be there, although, again, that may depend on umdanas, which I can't properly assess. But if you have a shift to be either, then it would be the responsibility of the mazik. And as we started with, there's a reasonable argument that whatever damages are awarded that ultimately are going to be paid by the homeowner's insurance policy would not be considered gazal pitin tor because of the umdana, that that is how these claims operate in our society where it goes to insurance. And we all understand that the mazik is not directly footing the bill in that scenario. So these are just some highlights of issues that came out of this interesting New Jersey court decision with a Passaic nexus that was publicized recently. No, the appeal court, the lower court, I'm sorry? No, the lower court awarded the lower court said that the defendant was correct in asserting that because of Yichud, there was no right for the defendant to be there. And then that was overturned, that the defendant did have the right to be there, therefore can sue for damages. So the way it's presented, the homeowner represented that she assumed that, sorry, the home sitter represented that she assumed the Baal Bais wouldn't have been makbid for someone to sleep in one of their beds. But she was sleeping in one of the beds, so they wouldn't have been makbid for someone to sleep in another bed. And that assertion wasn't challenged by the plaintiff, by the defendant. They only argued the Yichud argument. I'm sorry? You mean what attorney represented the defendant? The insurance company did not seem to be named in the... But this is a threshold question, meaning that this is a threshold question, can they sue for damages? The court is dealing with the threshold question of whether they can sue for damages. I assume now that they could sue for damages, then the insurance company will get involved. Right, I think this was just the threshold. Right, but they weren't directly named in that decision. I'm sure the insurance company didn't come up with this defense. It's almost as... right. There's a classic Yichud case from decades ago of the ski lift, right? The girl and guy were stuck in a ski lift and she jumped out because she didn't want to be there overnight with the guy and sue the amusement park, or whatever, for damages. She won, I think. So. Sorry? Yeah. Okay.